and also mark a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And before I get going, our country recognized the men and women on Friday who served as veterans. At one point, they served in our armed forces, and so I'd like for us just to take a minute to give honor to those who honor is due. And so if you served in our armed forces, if you would, please stand. If you are a veteran. Thank you all for your service, and we thank you all for the sacrifices that you've made on behalf of our country. All right. Romans chapter 1 is where I asked you to turn. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm just going to pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that you have spoken to your people. We're thankful, God, that you've revealed yourself beyond what we see in nature. You've shown us who you are. You've shown us your love. You've shown us your mercy. All of these things, your sacrifice for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you've left us a word, the Bible, to teach us about who you are and how we're supposed to live in this world. And so, God, the ultimate honor today we give to you. And we thank you, God, for the great blessing of knowing you and being able to call you our Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In a couple of weeks, our country is going to celebrate the holiday that we call Thanksgiving. Now, if I could tap into your minds and project on these screens the image or whatever you're thinking of when we talk about Thanksgiving, I wonder what it would look like. What would we see on the screens behind me? Would it be turkeys? You know, for most of the people here, you get a picture of this this golden brown turkey that just came out of the oven. Maybe it's a pumpkin pie that you're thinking of. We'd see some of those pictures up there. And so I would think that most people would have visions of food that would come up on the screen. And I think that's what we'd probably see. But some of you would probably see a football game because that's what you think of when you think of Thanksgiving, gathering around the table with your family watching football. Yeah, maybe Black Friday too. Yeah, already worried about the next day or excited about the next day. And others, I think we'd probably see pictures of people that we don't know. You know, so there'll be pictures of people that pop up on the screen and we're not real sure who they are. We just know there are some people who are either very anxious about seeing the person behind us or very excited because it means we're going to be gathering with family. So there's a lot of images and a lot of experiences that we associate with Thanksgiving, but I really kind of doubt that many people actually think of giving thanks when it comes to Thanksgiving. That's the very thing that the holiday is supposed to be about. And I don't mean that we're not thankful for turkeys and pies and football and even some of our family, right? We're thankful for some of them too. But that genuine gratitude, real thanks, rarely has a place at the table on the holiday that gives it its name. And so that's where we're going to spend our time today. We're going to be thinking today about giving thanks on Thanksgiving. You and I were created. We were created to be thankful beings. We were created to be thankful beings. It's at the core of what it means to be a human being. And a lack of gratitude, a lack of real thanks inside of us is a sign of our brokenness. It's a sign of sin that is present in our lives, and we are not thankful. I want to show you that the passage I told you to turn to, Romans chapter 1, tells us about how we were created to give thanks. And Paul here in the first chapter of Romans is teaching the church why God is just to judge human beings for their sins. Listen to what he says. He says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them." Now he's talking about all humanity here, all people. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made." So there is something that we can see about God. We can at least see that God exists, at the very least. by looking outside and seeing the things that he has made. So Paul says they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Didn't give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so again, there are things that when we look out in nature, we can see about God. Clearly, Paul says, we can see his eternal power and his divine nature. So God is a powerful, wise, majestic, creative being who is far above us. I don't think when we look outside, we could say, well, I could do that, right? I don't think there's anything in me that looks out into the world, the things that I see. I can just walk out our front doors here and say, I can make those trees. You know? I can make water. I can make it flow to the lake. I can make human beings. No, I mean, there's something about when we look out there and we look around us, we can tell that there is a God who is far above us. His eternal power is clear to human beings. But Paul says they did not honor him as God. They didn't acknowledge him as God. People refuse to acknowledge God or give thanks to him. And so we can see that God made everything, and whatever we have, anything that we have, is from him because he made it all. And so on the most basic level, humans should honor him as God and give thanks to him. And so one of sin's first accomplishments, one of the first things that it does inside the human heart is to steal our gratitude. Sin steals our gratitude. We become thankless people. We don't acknowledge that everything that we have has come from God. And so here's where I want to spend some of our time today. You're going to hear me mention again and again this phrase or something like it right here. You and I will not be thankful for what we think we deserve. We're not going to be thankful for what we think we deserve, for what we expect to receive, or for what we think that we've earned ourselves. So anything that you think you deserve, you are not going to be grateful for it. And if you're really expecting to receive something, whether you get it or not, you will not be grateful, or you will be very upset that you did not receive it. Gratitude exists in people who know that they have received what they do not deserve. I've told you the story before about a particular Christmas that, you know, I was really disappointed because my parents didn't give me the game that I wanted. You know, there was this game that I knew that I wanted. It was the best. It was called Kung Fu. I played it at the arcade. It was at the skating rink. Played this game, and so it was made for Nintendo. I woke up on Christmas morning. I fully expected to get this game, and instead they bought me one that they thought was better. I was pretty bummed. All right, was not very excited that Christmas morning. And so instead of being truly thankful from the heart for what I got, I kind of faked it. Just acted like I was grateful. You know, my expectations were not met. And so real gratitude wasn't there in me. And even if I had gotten the game that I had wanted that morning, even if I had received Kung Fu, if I'd gotten that game, I don't think that I would have been really grateful for it because I was expecting it. I knew that I was going to get it. So I don't think I would have been really grateful for it. You'll see why I say that here in just a few minutes. Here's another way that expectations affect gratitude. When something becomes normal to you, everyday, common, routine, when something becomes normal to you, you're not going to be thankful for it like you once were. So when a couple first gets married, what are they like? They're pretty excited, aren't they? And they're very thankful that there is a person in the world who desires to spend their life with me, right? We're pretty excited about that. We're thinking on those things. And every day we wake up, it's like this new wonderful experience, right? I've had a chance here recently, and I don't mean to embarrass you, Dale, but I've had a chance to work with Dale multiple times lately on different projects and stuff. This is what Dale Bianzano is like. Because Dale and Rachel got married back in July, and he's on cloud nine every day. And he might be like that for the rest of his life, and I hope that he is. But some of you guys know that through your experience, you were like that at one time. But then the day comes when just kind of being married is common and routine. You know, and that's not a good thing. And so our expectations over time, we just expect that person is there, and their love becomes kind of common to us. It's just there every day. So we just think, hey, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and they're there. And we start to take it for granted. One of the things that parents want from their children is just simple gratitude, right? And so how many times have you heard a statement like this? You know, I get out there and I work hard for you and I provide all this stuff for you and all I want is a simple thank you. Maybe you've said something like that before. But I think we can all at least relate on a certain level with that expectation. And so the parents then, even if the child were to give them a thanks, I don't know if they'd really be thankful, grateful from the heart that their children said that. But think about it from the child's perspective. That's what a parent exists to do, to give me the things that I need. So every day they expect there better be food in the pantry, there better be milk in the refrigerator. And so it has become common and routine for them. They expect it. And so genuine gratitude is not existing in those children's hearts. And so it's hard to be grateful for what you expect to receive. It's hard to be grateful for those things. And really, in expectations and deserve, they kind of go hand in hand, right? And so it's also hard to be grateful for what you think you deserve. And so if you work a 40-hour week this week and, you know, on Friday you're going to get paid, you know, you're really not grateful for the paycheck. You know, as much as you're glad it's actually in your hand, it's not real gratitude. It's there because you believe that you deserved it. You worked for it, right? And so if you came in on Friday and your paycheck wasn't there, you know, you're going to be pretty upset because you earned that money. That's yours. You worked for it. There was a transaction that took place. You put in the work. You know, you're there. You put in the effort, the time. You get money in return for that effort. And so if your money's not there waiting on you, you're going to get upset because you earned or deserved it. The same might be said about any benefits that you may receive from the government. When you first qualified for those, you know, you might have been pretty grateful that you're now able to receive something from them or another organization that became available to you, and so you were thankful. But if you get those over time, because you qualify for those entitlements, you might begin to feel entitled to them. And because you deserve them, the gratitude disappears. You know, there's any number of ways that we can apply this to our lives. And so, what do you expect to receive? What do you expect to receive, and what do you think that you deserve? And I would say that chances are there will not be genuine gratitude alongside of those. So if you really think that you deserve something, or are you expecting to receive it, you'll not really be grateful for it. And so true gratitude, where do we find that? True gratitude. True gratitude will exist in the heart of a person who knows they have received what they don't deserve. That's where genuine, biblical, heartfelt, real gratitude will exist, in the heart of a person who knows they have received what they do not deserve. Which means that fundamental to genuine thankfulness, or thanksgiving, as we're talking about the holiday, fundamental to that is grace. Grace. Because that's what the Bible describes grace to be, receiving from God what you do not deserve. So I asked you to look at Romans chapter 1. Now it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just one verse there. Chapter 4, verse 15. It'll be on the screen behind me if you don't have your Bibles open there. And it says, as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so as Paul is writing to this church, he is making a logical connection between grace and thanksgiving. He's been communicating up to this point about the gospel of Jesus Christ as it delivers people out of darkness and into light. That's what the work of the gospel does. God opens up hearts and he opens up minds to understand who Jesus is and to receive him as Lord and Savior, as grace, his power, reaches individuals. And he wants for more of that to happen. He wants grace to increase. And so what he says is that grace, when it increases amongst people, and more people in a community or a neighborhood or a country or a state, as more and more people receive God's grace, what naturally happens? He said, when grace is received, thanks increases. When grace increases or abounds, so does thanksgiving. As the gift of God's salvation in Jesus Christ reaches more and more people, it's as if the volume on the radio, the volume of thanksgiving, gets turned up in a particular area. And if the gospel is truly understood, if people really understand, if everybody in this room this morning understands the good news of Jesus Christ, you know where it came from, you know how it was brought about to you, you understand your salvation, people will understand that they did not earn it. You did not earn salvation. You did not deserve it. You did not deserve it. We should not expect it. So the forgiveness of sins or access to a holy God, that heavenly inheritance that we talked about last week, these are not things that we deserved. We should not have expected them. There is not a joint partnership between us and God in bringing about our salvation. It's not, I do my part, and God does His part, and naturally I get saved. That's not how it works. That's not how the Bible communicates what Christ has done for us. I know some of you guys here in this room, y'all come from a religious background where you've been told that if you do your part, you know, God will do His. You go and you be a good person. You go to church. You be spiritual. At the very least, you need to be sincere. You do good things for other people, and if you do things like that, God will love and He will accept you. You've been taught things like that. And with that understanding, I want you to understand that eternal life and friendship with God, that becomes a transaction. Much like a person working and receiving a paycheck on Friday. Again, I did mine, God did His. I deserve it, because in part I have earned it. We need to understand this morning that that type of thinking destroys or steps on the grace of God, because salvation is a free gift that He gives to people who did not deserve it, did not work for it, did not earn it, should not have expected it. If anything, we should have expected God's judgment because of what we saw in Romans chapter 1. We didn't acknowledge God. We did not honor Him. We did not thank Him. And because of that, we deserve God's just judgment. Nobody would be able to complain if that's what we got. But instead, God made it possible for us to receive mercy and to receive His free grace as a gift through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus earned it everything. He accomplished everything. We just simply are called to believe and receive it. And I know for a lot of people here, man, that is too good to be true. In some ways, it is. But that's what our God is like. He says, it is not by your performance at all. You did not earn anything. You can be as good or better than any human being that ever walked the face of the earth except for Jesus, and you would deserve God's just judgment. And so we simply fall on God's mercy and His grace to receive what we did not deserve. And so what should be present in the hearts of God's people? If we really understand the gospel, it's not about how good you've done this morning. You got dressed and you came to church, you know? Step one. I prayed. I've even opened up my Bible. When the offering plate came by, I dropped something in. I hope God saw that. And if I've done all of these good things, then I deserve God's goodness poured out on me. Man, the gospel is all about what Jesus Christ has done for you. It is all about His grace, and in His mercy, He accepts you and loves you when you simply believe that Jesus accomplished through His life and through His death what you could not. And so we receive from God what we did not deserve. And so grace humbles a person. Because they know, we ought to know that we are undeserving of what God has given to us. And so gratitude grows in the soil of humbling grace. And if we're prideful, if we think we've earned anything, if we think that we've worked pretty hard and we should expect something in return from God, what does that grow? That grows pride. We start to think we've earned something. We start to boast about it even. Like, I've really been good today. Better than you. Right? We start to compare ourselves to other people instead of comparing ourselves to a holy and righteous God. So to be able to receive anything from Him, it comes through His gracious and generous hand. And so the free gift of God that He gives to us in Jesus Christ is foundational for the gratitude that should exist in all Christians for everything that we possess. And so salvation is the beginning point. It is the foundational level for why we should be grateful people, not just for our salvation, and we should be that, right? Not just for our salvation, but for everything that we have. Everything. So just as your salvation is a free gift from God, everything that you possess, everything in your home, everything in your pockets, everything in your bank account is a gift from God. Everything. Acts 17 says this. He Himself, this is Paul teaching in Athens, he says to them, He Himself, this God, gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Not only is every breath that you take a free gift from God as the creator and sustainer of all things, life and breath and everything are from Him. The cars, if you drove here this morning, the car out in the parking lot, that is a gift from God. The house that you live in, yep, you earned it, right? No. God gave it to you. Let me tell you why I say that, because I think we live in a country where a lot of us feel like we're maybe a little bit higher up on the totem pole than other people because I worked hard for mine. I worked hard for mine. They didn't. But Paul changes our perspective. The Apostle Paul changes our perspective on even the ability that we have that it has been given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them." And so if this was us and we said something like that, I worked harder than all those people. I was out there every day. I was taught the early bird gets the worm. So I was up earlier. I worked later. I did more than everybody. And because of that, I deserve what I have, right? That's what Paul could have said here, because he did work harder than everybody else. He did get up earlier. He did suffer more than everybody else did. And so who gets the glory for that? Paul, right? No. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Quite possibly the most devoted, Christ-honoring, hardest working missionary that has ever lived on the face of the earth, sacrificing his life and himself for other people. If anybody could have claimed something for himself to boast in, it would have been Paul. But he understood that even the ability to work hard, harder than the others, does not lift me up. It lifts God up. Because He is the giver of the grace that sustained and carried the Apostle Paul. And so you and I, we cannot look at ourselves. I worked harder than him. I was better than that and her. Trying to drag ourselves up a little bit and drag somebody else down. No. Paul said it is all of grace. So God even gives that to us. Strips us of any ability at all to boast about anything, because it is all a gift from Him. And so is there anything that we have not received? Is there anything that you possess, any ability, any possession, that you got yourself without the help of anybody else? Paul takes that away from us too. 1 Corinthians 4 says this, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Meaning nothing. Nothing. "If you received it, then why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Paul is trying to teach these churches everything they have is from God. Not one possession did you earn for yourself. Nothing. James chapter 1, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, God is the giver of everything. And that's why I started by showing you Romans chapter 1, that we were created to be thankful people. We were created to be thankful people. To acknowledge God would be to say that everything that I have comes from Him. There's not one thing that I have earned, and there is not one thing that I deserve, and there is not one thing that I should expect, because it is all a free gift out of the generous hand of a God who loves me. It's all an offering from Him. And so I would say then, according to Romans chapter 1, that thanklessness or ingratitude, a lack of gratitude, is practical atheism. And so we say with our mouths that we really believe that God is the giver of everything, but we don't have any gratitude in our hearts. What does that mean? It means we're walking around as if God does not exist. The God that is portrayed here in the Bible, the giver of all things, if we do not have gratitude, we're walking around as practical atheists. Because we're not acknowledging Him, we're not honoring Him, and we're not giving thanks to Him, because we believe that we deserve it, we earned it, and we should expect it. And so thanksgiving really should be a heartfelt joy. A heartfelt joy on the inside. I mean heartfelt, like it's really there. That it doesn't just come out in empty words. You know, empty words, you know, those are just hollow things. We just say thank you sometimes, even though we don't feel it. God knows better than that. He knows what's going on inside your heart if you are truly grateful for the things that He has given to you. You know, we took our little ones trick-or-treating for Halloween. And in every house, we would tell them, say thank you for the candy. Say thank you, right? We're telling them just to offer up those hollow words to those folks. I mean, our kids, really, they were just, again, a cultural exchange, kind of like working and getting a paycheck. I dress up, you give me candy, right? That's it. I expect it. I mean, that's what my parents told me were going to happen. I put my clothes on. Matter of fact, some of them don't have to dress up. They just show up at your door, right? They just got a bucket, you know, and they just deserve or expect to receive candy. So my kids, their thank yous were actually pretty hollow. And the people who heard it, they knew it. They were just taking part in the cultural exchange too, right? They dressed up, I give them candy. That's just the way that it works. And so gratitude is not alive. It is not real. It is not genuine in empty words. And so it's not just enough for us to know that God has given us everything. He delights when we experience joy. Heartfelt, real joy from our knowing that He has joyfully provided everything. God is not a begrudging giver. He loves to give freely and generously to us. And we need to have a cheerful or generous heart in gratitude, thankfulness, true thankfulness to Him for giving so freely to us, people who don't deserve it. When you have joy on the inside, real gratitude, when you're really thankful for something, you're going to express it on the outside. And so the holiday that we call Thanksgiving, for us anyway, understanding that everything has been a free gift from God, it should really be about thanksgiving. Offering up praise and thanks to God. And so thanksgiving is an external result. It's an external result. It's the product of an internal joy. It won't be hollow. The words that you express first and foremost to God for things that you did not deserve will be filled with joy. Truly. You won't just say thank you because it's some sort of social etiquette. You'll actually offer up thanks to Him. You're going to express it on the outside. And it is produced by God's grace. So real gratitude comes from God's grace. And that's something that we cannot deserve, or we do not deserve, and we cannot expect. I'm going to leave you today with a little bit of homework. I don't normally do this, but next week's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to be preaching next week, not going to be teaching, and so you won't have to listen to me. So next week is our Thanksgiving service. And the tradition here has been that anytime we have the week before Thanksgiving, we have open mic. Anybody can come to the front and express their thankfulness for what God has done in their lives. And so you'll have the opportunity to express to all the congregation here what you're thankful for. And I'm asking you to prepare your heart in advance for what you want to say, so that what you say will be shared out of genuine gratitude to God. Not just like, I'm really happy about this and I want everybody to know it. You know, you can save that for Facebook or whatever social media that you're on. When you come back next week, please offer up first your thanksgiving to God, as you understand that everything, every good thing that has happened in your life this year, that you can't wait to share with other people, that it has been a free gift of God's grace. So we would come next week genuinely grateful and ready to give thanks to Him. Give thanks to Him. Because you know that you did not deserve it, and you could not expect it. And you want to come in here and you're going to offer Him a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for who You are. You tell us in Your Word that You own the cattle on a thousand hills. And so You don't need us to go and offer up sacrifices. When we come here and we give money, You own every bit of money. You own every bit of real estate. We don't really offer up anything to You because You own it all. You freely give it to us. And You desire for us to experience Your joy. That we're not supposed to just love the gifts. The gifts are there to point us to the giver. So please remind us this week as we prepare for Thanksgiving, the holiday. Remind us, God, how we are to be truly grateful. Because everything we have, every ability that we have, has been given to us as a gift from You. Teach us, God, to honor Your Son in the way that we show gratitude. We pray it in His holy name.